Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Mindshifters Radio. We're delighted that you're here, and we are delighted to be sharing with you the tools that we've developed and supporting you in the learning and the teaching of these tools. Our vision and our purpose here is to support every mind, heart, and being on the planet, having direct access to the original Aramaic teachings of forgiveness, which, as we've shared oftentimes, has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook for what's going on inside of us, but rather is about how we change what's going on inside of us. If there's pain, if there's turmoil, if there's trauma, there is a reliable, systematic way to remove that pain, that turmoil, and that trauma through theology, from your mind, from your heart, and from your emotions. And so we're here to support you in that. And Jeannie, do we have anybody in the chat room or on the phone that has a question?
No, David and I are both on the phone, and there's actually no one in the chat room yet, so everybody must be running behind today. But the call-in number is 646-200-4169. Call in with your questions.
Cool. Awesome. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Michael. Let me change to good morning. Talked with Perry about what we talked about, and he's contacting some folks now around that subject if you want to give a few minutes for some other people to maybe chime in.
All right. Are you on the speakerphone, David?
Nope.
No? Oh, because no, it sounds real kind of distorted.
Nope. I'll call back in again. Maybe I'll just walk across the street here again. Sometimes around the computer here, there's some stuff that comes up. So yeah, I'm on the. I'll call back in.
It sounds better now. Does that sound clear for
okay.
you, Jeannie? Jeannie, you must have your mute on because I'm not hearing you.
It is fine. Yep.
Oh, good. Good.
Okay.
All right. And Terry, are you with us?
Who did you ask about?
Is Terry here with us?
No, he's not.
Oh, Terry, no. I don't know if he's on his phone or not. Again, I've stepped outside. There's something about the interference with it me being by the computers. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
So obviously
All right.
It's something that's with it. So I'm going to step across the street. Terry's just now getting on the line as well. So.
Awesome. Welcome and good
okay.
morning, everybody. Good afternoon, if you happen to be in the afternoon zone of the world. Kind of proves the illusion of time.
And we may as well say, and if we forget, good evening and good night from the Truman Show.
Okay.
Okay, so for it, Michael.
Yeah. Our work today, as usual, is about learning the multitude of tools that were taught in the ancient Aramaic language, tools which tend, unfortunately, to be lost in the Greek translations of those ancient Aramaic words, and learning how to... There's somebody banging around. If you could put your phone on mute, that would be helpful. Learning how to utilize those tools in the healing of ourselves, each other, and the planet. And so we're moving in the direction of taking those tools globally. And we happen to be in Las Vegas, Nevada right now. And if anybody is in the town of Pahrump, we're going to be at Healthcare Partners Medical Center tonight doing the a support group. We did Unity here in Las Vegas last night, and we're kind of blitzing this area at this point, thanks to and appreciation to Dr. Stephen Androcki and his wife Claudia, who are in particular delivering it to the Spanish community and have done lots of work in translating, along with young lady Nene in Florida, in bringing this forward into the Spanish community. So we've got a Spanish segment set up on our website now, and every other Tuesday night in Las Vegas at Guadalupe Medical Center. There are three or four of them, but it's one of the locations. You can check our website for the location. There is a Spanish support group working with these tools. And then on a weekly basis, on Wednesday night at Unity in Las Vegas, there's an English support group working with the tools. We did that last night. We'll be there next week, I anticipate, although we're not 100% sure, that we'll be part of that support group. And it's meeting at the Unity Center, which is over near Pecos and Sunset, just about on the corner, just north of the corner of Pecos and Sunset, at Unity of the Valley. And so that's also on our website. If you want to be on our mailing list, drop Jeannie a note in the chat room or to her email, which is Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.com. And she will gladly put you on the list to keep you in contact with what's happening. And in particular, if you're on the radio show but you're in the chat room as a guest, we would invite you to either register and or to send us your email address. And we're not quite to the point yet, but we'll be getting to the point where we'll be sending some links out and some information about what our future shows are going to be about. So if you want to keep posted on that, keep Jeannie in the loop with your email address. And other than that, Jeannie, do we have anybody there that wants to talk, that has a question? Yesterday we had lots of activity. Do we have anybody that has a question or a comment to make?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, great. Well, then let's move forward with what the tool of forgiveness is about. If you are new to the work, if this is something you haven't joined us for before, you can download our book freely from the website. You can also download the worksheet, actually many different worksheets. The main worksheet that we talk about, usually when we talk about doing five worksheets a day, is the reality management sheet, which can be found at www.whyagain.com on our website. On the right-hand side, you can click download worksheets. And as you click download worksheets, you'll see that the first link is an explanation of how to do the reality management process, which is Aramaic forgiveness. And the second link is a copy of the 7-step, the latest version of the reality management process. So we invite you to download those things, begin to put the pen to the paper. This work is not about knowing about forgiveness. This work is about doing forgiveness. This work is not about studying a body of work. It's about doing a body of work, about carrying forward in our work of healing. And the process of healing is that of removing from within our own energy fields that which never belonged in a human energy field. And fortunately, whatever your drama and your trauma, whatever your pain, whatever's happened to you, whatever you did, it is all removable because none of it belongs in a human energy field. It is all totally, completely removable. And we're here to support you in removing everything that is unlike your human life from your so-called human body. And, of course, we establish a definition of life very easily. It's one that virtually everybody agrees with everywhere on the planet. Hold a newborn child. Define human life for me. You don't really have to say a word. And in fact, when you try to put it into words, there really aren't any words. We were in an alternative school, thanks to a young lady named Sandra up in Richlands, Washington. We're in a school where we had these kids who were kind of in alternative classrooms, weren't really cutting it in the traditional educational world. And we asked that question, pardon me, that Jeannie often asks or always asks at the beginning of a Why workshop, asked the question, how many have held a newborn? And, of course, the list is always the same. It's love, it's awesome, it's presence, it's beauty, it's purity, it's sweetness, it's inner sense. And there was this young girl who was maybe 16 who had a child and in this alternative classroom. And she gave her word, and I don't remember specifically what her word was to go on the list, and she said, and she kind of burst out with it. She's like, and you know, all those words on that list are true about my daughter, but none of them actually describe her. None of them actually capture it. And you know, all the words you can say about love don't capture who you and I are. We are the awesome presence of love, which cannot be reduced to words. And we are looking to support the restoration of that human life, the active presence of love, to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what our support system is about. And we are honored and delighted to be here playing with you in that process. And, of course, we tend to live in a world where we have a focus on what's going on inside of me. My pain is caused by you, so it's your fault. And when we shift the focus from what we think is everybody else's problem, you soon discover that our troubled existence is an indicator that our own minds have been trained to block truth. And the truth of our feelings, oftentimes we end up in the need to escape. And that need to escape and those internal feelings come from internal conditions, not from external circumstances. When you connect the mind, or pardon me, in the mind, so-called mind, external circumstances to what is an internal problem, the internal problem becomes unsolvable. After you look past the appearance in your mind that says everything that's a problem in your life is somebody else's fault, you start to become aware that you're involved in your own life, and it's not anyone else's fault, and it's not your fault either. It's just what we do. And there are traps that exist in the mind, and what we are looking to do is to support each of and every person in breaking through those blocks and recognizing that what's going on in my mind is what's going on in my mind, and what shows up in my mind tells me about the content of my mind. It does not always accurately tell me about who I think I'm looking at. And if you've ever had someone accuse you of saying something you've never said, of doing something you absolutely never did, then you know exactly what I'm speaking of, that this person has a picture in their mind of you, and in having that picture of you, they swear that what they're feeling is caused by you. After all, it must be. And of course, you know that it's not true. And it's easy to see that about everybody else, but not so easy to see it about ourselves. And so we have a marker that we use. We have a key that we use in this work for determining whether or not your mind is telling you the truth. And that key is, if in your physiology there's any form of hostility or fear, your mind is using corrupt data to build its reality, to build its pictures, and it's not telling you the truth. It's telling you a lie. And so we want to look into those errors in our own minds. Interestingly, if you go back into the ancient Aramaic Beatitudes, one of the steps, one of the keys they offered there in order to become successful at your quest for truth, then you have to look into your own errors and the errors of your society, because, of course, we're all, to a degree, what's going on in our bodies, minds, we're all a product of our society to some degree. And when we start to look into those errors, we have the opportunity to correct those errors. And error means anything based in hostility or fear. It's obvious that a being called love, now your culture's delivered all kinds of messages to you that you are not love, that you're, oh, who knows what the list of descriptors are. There's some pretty bizarre ones out there. None of those descriptors are true about you. You started out, as that young lady shared with us in that classroom, all those wonderful words on the left side of the board about love, about presence, about beauty, about peace, they all describe my daughter, but they don't even start to capture. There's so much more, and you are so much more. But you've been taught by a society that you have to put up with the hostility, the fear, the pain, because, of course, it's caused by other people and therefore is unchangeable. Well, this body of work presents tools which can be used to reestablish ourselves in true being and take back the management of our responses, our choices, our lives, our emotions, our health, our behaviors, minds, bodies, relationships, right down to the food and drink choices that we make. In doing so, we can order our lives so that they are in alignment with the actual world as it is, rather than the myriad of absurd and false beliefs that we've been brainwashed into accepting about ourselves, about life, and the way the world works. And so we're here to support you in that process. And if you have a question, we would love to hear from you, or a comment, or something to share of your experience of the work. Our phone number is area code 646. Phone number is 200-4169. 646-200-4169. We would love to hear from you and answer your questions, refine or offer support with the tools, or if you're new to it, suggest some tools that might help with your situation, if you have a situation you'd be interested in sharing with us. If we never arrive at the possibility that we've spoken of here, of what is available to us as human beings, then we tend to live in some form of violence, some form of whether it's petty violence like destructive words toward ourselves or others. You know, the person who says to themselves, man, am I ever stupid? Am I ever worthless? I'll never make it. Is perpetrating a violence on them that was probably handed to them by their power person. And that power person is a person who wasn't functioning as a human being, as love, usually in the early stages of one's life. And we tend to play out those dynamics. And it's so pervasive in the world that it rips us off with the presence of love. And I love a quote that Mark Twain has. He says this. He says, in all ages, the savages, and of course in the context of this work we offer, that would be the non-being mind, the savages of all lands have made the slaughtering of their neighboring brothers the common business of their lives. And we call that heroism. Jeannie and I were having a discussion this morning, and she's, of course, in school, and she's doing literature, and her required class is having her study Macbeth. And you look at how the hero of the story is about murdering someone so that they can move forward and climb the social ladder. How bizarre to call that great literature, that which holds up to heroism one who would kill another for position, for power, for money. And how our world has got so much backward. I can remember back, it's probably about 30 years ago, I wrote a poem. And the poem was called Obscenity. And it goes like this. Sex is obscene. We all know about that. Just look at the reviews of old Fritz the Cat. They touted and hollered, it's such a disgrace to watch cartoon animals as they procreate. And yet, what of murderers, rapists, and thieves? A child of five can watch them with ease, in true living color, morning, noon, and night, if you please. Just what is obscene in this great land of ours? Should motion picture producers be put behind bars? We bring about that which we center upon. Why not love and peace make violence true porn? And when you start looking around at our culture, when our culture decides to carry out what Mark Twain referred to as the action of the savages, you'll notice that the savages that control the culture cordoned off, roped off, separated out, made... perpetrated violence upon the people who peacefully stood holding signs saying, we don't want to go to war, we want peace. How does it get turned around? What happens? And how do we individually and collectively correct that dynamic? Our work is about that exact process. And so if you have a question, call us 646-200-4169 or jump on our website, www.whyagain.com. And there are instructions there for getting into the chat room. Pop into the chat room. You can do it as a guest. If you're a guest, you can't really make comments or ask questions in the chat room, but you can sign in to Blog Talk Radio and create an account, which is only used by Blog Talk Radio in regard to the show. And then you can actually chat, you know, you can interact with the other people in the chat room and put forward your thoughts or your questions. So, Jeanine, do we have any questions or thoughts there?
Well, we've got a couple of things. One, they're not really questions, but one young lady who is, she's the one that David was talking about the other day, and she's been doing the five a day and is playing the Building the Brain Cells game. And she says that she just went to lunch. Hold on, my screen just rolled down on me. She just got back from lunch, and she said she noticed that the waitress had a lot of, that she seemed to have a lot of pain. And I experienced her as being rude and condescending. My first reaction in the past would have been to get angry, but today I started thinking about what is there in me that I'm seeing this. So I was really nice to her. I smiled at her. She seemed to relax some, and I thought this was pretty cool.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
So fabulous, Christine. Thank you for that. You know, there's an awesome line in the Course in Miracles that says millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. This weekend we worked with someone who had talked about committing suicide at one point. And spoke of how he disciplines his sons, tough disciplinarian. And as he went through some forgiveness work and some still point breathing, got in touch with how his father always expected him to fail and was just waiting for him to fail, though he tried to be the hero, the football hero, and the academic hero, and found that he could never quite live up to his father's image, and so he just collapsed into drug and alcohol use. And as he came out of that session, he was able to see that he had been perpetrating, carrying on exactly the same dynamic with his sons, and had been speaking in terms of, well, they haven't, you know, one of my sons is an A student, the other one's an AB student, and they haven't gotten into trouble yet. And like his dad was sitting waiting for them to do that. And it was just so awesome to see him shift into, oh my God, my sons are such awesome beings, and here I am playing that same power person game out. And he went back with a whole renewed commitment to love, honor, and cherish the awesome beings that his sons were, instead of drag them into the good old family plan where you get to be a failure and you get to be a disappointment to your dad. I mean, it was just awesome. And so, Christine, to walk into that restaurant, who knows whose life you've changed today? Who knows that waitress might not have gone home and committed some kind of an atrocity against herself and someone else, and it just changed the world. And our commitment and our goal with this work is to bring people to conscious awareness of who we are as love, and to bring those, you know, it's interesting, there's a bumper sticker out there that speaks about senseless acts of beauty. There are no senseless acts of beauty. Every one of them that comes from being is an awesome, sensible thing to do. And we're here to support you. And of course, you know, this is our learning process too, to do this for ourselves. We're all in the same boat. None of us is any different. We've all got our stuff and we've all got our work to do, and we're about creating community of support for moving beyond the insane way that our world has worked to date, to move beyond the modeling of things like Macbeth. Now, of course, Macbeth does teach that ultimately, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But in the meantime, the hero is the one who murders in order to gain position and wealth and power. So, you know, which message, part of our discussion this morning over with Jeannie, my discussion was, you know, which message, both messages are there, which message is the more powerful one? And obviously, if you look at how our world's been impacted, you look at people who'll do any kind of damage they want to have power and status and things, rather than doing sensible acts of beauty. And so I question the validity of holding this up as great literature that perpetrates and promulgates images of violence and viciousness as heroic things. It's time for us to downgrade the literature, folks. It's time for us to make great literature that literature which upholds true human life and the active presence of love. I remember at one point when our son Ryan was in school and he was sharing with us some literature work he was doing. And there are these kids in a small community-based Christian college. And what are they being forced to read? What's the hero in this story doing? Oh, he's having an affair on his wife. And this is the literature that minds are forced to study, and everything that builds brain cells ultimately contributes to the output of the human mind. And so it's time for us to start to review everything that is unlike human life in us and in our culture, and let's start to bump it, folks, because it's not necessary. We could be moving forward with that kind of simple but awesome act that you did in offering someone that was crying for love, the presence of your love. What a gift to give. Thank you, Christine. We delight in sharing the world with you.
And Michael?
Yes, sweetie?
We have, Les says that of course, this is our friends, for those who don't know, the Peebles are coming to visit us at Heartland, which is our teaching center in Theodosia, Missouri. They're going to be with us for 4 months this summer, doing teachers training and assisting us with support team work. But anyway, he said that they had finally started doing their worksheets, and they had each done two, and they were astounded
awesome.
By the And I asked him if he wanted to share, and he said that it was pretty much the boys' bedtime and he needed to be a little more organized so that maybe tomorrow he would share what they had been experiencing. And he just said, we thought that we were pretty expert in self-inquiry and process work. However, starting the sheets today makes us realize the importance of specifics and detailed process work, really getting to the feelings and the thoughts specifically. So he says that he will share tomorrow because he really needs to get a little more organized to do that. So I told him we'd be looking forward to seeing that and hearing from him. And
that's really fabulous. We're delighted you're stepping into that track. And you happen, by the way, to carry the namesake of one of my favorite professors from law school back about 30 years ago. Our real estate professor was Charlie Peebles. And so you carry a name that carries a sweet vibe for me, and we look forward to you arriving. And Les and his wife Jen and their two boys, Owen and Bill, are all getting on an airplane very soon. Time's flying forward, and going to be at Heartland this summer for 3 months to experience our intensive work and to support us in the building of Heartland. And so that's just awesome to hear that that stepping forward.
Glad yeah, and he then added, although I felt so sick and tired and lethargic before starting, the last time I felt so sick was when I considered some therapy years ago. Thanks for the encouragement to do the worksheets. So.
Yeah, and you know, last Friday, I'm not sure whether you guys were on the show last Friday, but you might, if you weren't, you might want to download the archive of last Friday's show, and I think it's entitled Healing Crisis or something to that effect. I'm not sure exactly what Jeannie entitled it, but it goes through what healing looks like, and it's not a Dr. Feelgood program. So cool. So any other questions or comments on the line at this moment?
No, he did add in that the name Peebles is a brilliant name. He says it means place of the tent in Celtic.
Say again, place of?
Place of the tent, T-E-N-T.
Intent?
Place of the tent, like you go camping
tent.
In a tent.
Place of the tent, so the abode. Cool, awesome. Well, where are you going to be placing your tent? No, we're not going to put you in a tent, Les, I promise. But where you're going to be coming as you head to Heartland, and we've been working on a new vision and mission statement for Heartland, and I shared it with David and Terry this morning. Actually, Terry was kind of the inspiration for this. He's working on the community and the land planning for the additional 50 acres at Heartland for our community. And so we're expanding our vision statement, and I just thought I'd share that, and I share it with the idea of tapping you into the vibe of what we're doing at Heartland, what's moving forward there, but also for your feedback. If you have any pieces of the puzzle that you could see would refine and uplift our purpose, and or just any feedback in general, any thoughts you have, we would love to have from you. And so our purpose statement, our mission and vision goes like this: to serve, restore, and support the consciously creative presence of human life, bracket and bracket love, on Earth. Through global, freely available workshops at Heartland, a conscious community, we bring this forward. Our basis is the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness and the correlated tools that we've developed over the last 40 years. Heartland is the core support space that empowers us to make what we teach universally available to a critical mass of people who are the leavening that will bring these tools to every heart, mind, and being on the planet. We are creating a functional alternative community based on these teachings. Through our own inner work and love, our presence, teaching, our creative and artistic talents and abilities, we are creating a model community based in the practice of keeping love conscious, active, and present in every circumstance that could possibly occur. This community supports each individual, child, and adult on a practical how-to level in discovering and living their primary and secondary purposes, that of developing a viable, conscious, spiritual body and supporting, in every endeavor, the presence of love in the world. This is enhancing the development of a global community of mentors, which we've worked toward creating and supporting throughout the years. These mentors, each at various stages of their own work, are supported in delivering these tools to their respective communities. 5 days a week, our radio show, Mindshifters Radio, and local Mindshifter support groups freely make the tools and support available around the globe. The book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, is available for free download in 5 languages in support of making forgiveness available to everyone. We envision a high-quality video and audio studio to enhance the media we've created over the several decades. Through alternative and sustainable building practices, we take care of the earth. We're experimenting with Rice Hall building and getting approval for waste treatment systems that, unlike septic systems, leave nothing in the earth, thereby keeping the local aquifer pristine. Project opportunity. In an ever-increasing world of complexity and insanity, bracket and bracket lovelessness, we have worked for 4 decades to create an opposite trend. Many people are looking for simplicity, a healing space, and a truly fulfilling life. We have been creating at Heartland such a community and a body of work that will support each person working through their internal chaos by healing whatever they need to in order to reach clarity of purpose and be empowered to function out of that purpose. We are creating in the Ozark Mountains, a micro world that supports the individual, child, and adult alike, as well as the community at large. With the acquisition of relatively inexpensive land and the use of alternative building practices, it is possible to produce a high-quality, truly affordable lifestyle and create community based on the tools of forgiveness, simplicity, and love. Potential benefactors. Sustainable community and a continuous presence of love is a space that benefits energetically everyone. Creating an holistic wellness community of teachers, healers, artists, freelancers, independent web business owners, along with an aging population looking for an economical, quality, life-supporting environment, rounds out our vision. We are committed to the healing of every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So that's Heartland's vision statement. And, of course, we would love your input and refinements. We'll, once we complete this, we'll get it posted on the website so that you can access it in the rest of the notes. A big chunk of information to keep up just reading it. But we'd appreciate your holding the space and support of doing that. And if you're interested, we're looking at the style of buildings that we'll be creating. If you look on the website on the right-hand side, you'll see Heartland Community and some of the possibilities there as we come together and create a more conscious lifestyle. Any questions or thoughts there, Jeannie, on the website? Or?
We do have a comment in the chat room, and it's Christina again, and she's saying that, come on, hold on me again. She says that for her, the commitment to herself, that we have a commitment for those that don't know. If you click on commitments on the website, there's several. There's one that you read to other people. There's a commitment to myself. You read to yourself in the mirror, and then commitments for business, the child commitment. There's several out there, and it's in about 12 different languages. But she says, for me, the commitment to myself and saying that in the mirror every day has really brought to the surface how unkind I am to myself and how that this habit, yeah, it's a big one. And, technical difficulties here. My apologies. And how that this habit has served to keep me stuck for a long time. So for me, that is a huge way of supporting myself every day. I can see a concrete connection in how being unkind to myself was really impairing my ability to be kind to others. So that's awesome, Christina. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's interesting that that we've been brought up in a world that says the first law is we need to love self. That's part of it. Love the creator, love neighbor, love self. And then we're taught by the very organization that tells us that we need to self-deprecate, that we need to put ourselves down, that we may need to make ourselves lower. And I think that that's happened because of the an overcorrection. You know, if you start giving people ego status, if you give the non-being mind status, then it tends to get a little crazy. And so in reaction to that, I think there's been, especially in the faith community, a tendency to move in the opposite direction of, well, just put yourself down, self-deprecate. And that's not the law. The law is you need to love yourself. You need to be and keep the presence of love in your mind when you think of yourself. And so, and of course, our culture has lots of put-downs. The good old family feeling has lots of put-downs in it. And so thank you for being willing to heal that. Another awesome line in the Course in Miracles says that when you are healed, you are never healed alone. And as you open that space, you open the energy window for every person that does not remember who they are. Remember that girl in school? Her daughter's 2. She's 16 or 17, and all those words about love, she says, yeah, my daughter's all that, but it's not even close to who she is. There's so much more. You are so much more, and your culture has unconsciously put something different in your mind. So we're here to support correction, And, of course, part of the correction process is the removal of that information that's not true about you. And in the ancient Aramaic, that's called forgiveness. Forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you. It's the way that you remove what never belonged inside of you. And so we're here to support you in that. And if you have any questions, please call in. 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Yeah, I see two things. There's, Christina, one is the story that you shared earlier about the waitress today and everything, and that you shifted to that kindness. So that ties in perfectly with your reading the commitment to yourself and then seeing, you know, loving yourself and seeing the best in you, but then sharing that love with other people and seeing something better in them. And so that's definitely a result of your work with that tool that's manifesting outwardly. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, the presence of love is what we are, and it has to be extended through us for us to get to see it. And because our culture's not modeled much of that, oh, there are nice words about love, but the actual extension of that without the use of some form of physical, verbal, or emotional violence is unfortunately relatively rare. And so thank you for being part of the solution.
She said thank you for the acknowledgement. And so, Michael, address, you know, why are we so resistant to going inside and looking at what's in there and doing what it takes to remove it? Because we face it every day anyway. I mean, it's like right there.
Well, the thing is that we face it indirectly and unconsciously every day. When we, you know, the whole thesis of the work is that, first of all, of course, we are love. But when something less than love comes to us and we deny responsibility for it, what happens is we create a dissociated state. We create a part of the mind that is not available to us. And in that dissociated state, which is something that's been going on for 1,000 generations, you know, if you look at our, you know, one of the workshops we do is called Communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said? And when I turn to somebody and I say, and you really made me angry, I just asked my mind to create a picture of you as being the cause of what's going on inside of me. Now in that dissociated state, I can't go in and correct my anger. When I shift into actual adult language, when I shift into actual responsibility communication, instead of saying, you made me angry, I'm going to move into a conversation that says, you know, when you said thus and so, that brought anger up in me. And what I'd like to do is heal my anger. Now I've given my mind permission to show me that my anger is mine, it's about me, I'm the only one that's been there every time I've experienced it, and now that I can see it, I can start to correct it. And of course, in the workshops, when I point that out, I then turn around to the audience and say, now let's see, how many here were brought up in the home where mom, when she went into her rage because dad was late for dinner, he went out and got drunk, and she had to throw the dinner away, how many had the mom in their home that when dad got home said, you know, dad, you know, dear husband, when you didn't show up for dinner, I went into rage. And what I really need, I realize you've got some problems with alcohol, but, you know, right now what I want to do is deal with and talk about me, and I realize I have a problem with rage. And what I want to do is clean up my rage. Would you support me? Was anybody brought up in the home with that mother? Tens of tens of tens of thousands of people I've asked that question of over decades, and I've never had one person raise their hand and say yes. Now, we then ask the second question. How many were brought up with the dad who, when he went into one of his fits of rage, turned to his son or his daughter or his wife and said, you know, dear one, my rage just came up. I have a problem I need to deal with. Would you support me in healing my rage? Interestingly enough, over the years, I've never had anybody who answered yes to that question either, except for about 2 months ago, we were in Florida doing a workshop, and we had a young man who raised his hand. The young man was 24. The young man was on the phone with us yesterday, and he raised his hand, and he said, "I was raised with that dad." His dad had been in one of our workshops about 25 years earlier. It's time for us to learn to be responsible for what's going on in our minds. If we can't be responsible for it, we can't change it. If we can't change it, then we tend to function out of it over and over and over again until we finally get done with it. And so in the ancient Aramaic, the word Satan represents not some evil force or evil creature out there that's out to get us, but it actually means, it's a lowercase word, and it means the resistor. When I'm in pain and somebody says, "Michael, you're responsible for your pain," do I want to go and look there? Do I want to go and feel this pain fully, directly? No. I want to blame somebody else. And, you know, we're all still learning how to clean this up. So when I'm able to experience it directly, when I give up my resistance to that, instead of fighting against and wanting to make the conversation about somebody else, I go, "Huh, look at this in me. I have some work to do." Then I've overcome Satan. Then the next trick is, the second half of the definition of Satan from the Aramaic is one who misleads. My mind is misled by a whole story that isn't true about me or whoever it is that I'm looking at. My mind has convinced me that what's happening inside of me is caused by something outside of me. And so I am misled by that projection. Forgiveness, so my offering would be that the reason we're in such resistance is because that's been going on for 1,000 generations. Virtually no one has seen somebody model responsibility communication. Gee, I have sadness, I have grief, I have fear, I have pain, I have rage inside of me, and I need to clean it up. Most everybody hears, "You made me angry, you made me rageful, you made me afraid, you caused all this pain. It was them at work that caused all this turmoil in me." Excuse me. If you got turmoil in you, guess what? Somebody's going to bring it up, and it's got nothing to do with them. It's all got to do with you. And the upside of overcoming the resistor and being misled into thinking it's all about somebody else is that you get to come back into direct relationship with all of the turmoil, the trauma, the pain, the craziness inside yourself, and you get to expose it to love. And when you get to expose it to love, guess what happens? It all changes. It begins to dissolve. And as it begins to dissolve, you move deeper and deeper into a state of conscious, active, present love. That's the purpose of everything that we're doing in this work. And that's the purpose of our radio show and why we're here, what we're here to support you with. In making available to everyone. Yes, David.
Tim Hayes here.
Oh, Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. I was just listening, and I wanted to kick in a little about how if you hear this from enough different perspectives, it may shift and get in a little deeper for you. You talk about how in the mind, my mind is only showing me an internal representation, a picture that I believe is of what's going on around me, but it can only be from firings in my brain cells. It can only be things that I'm already familiar with. And so I'm literally, when I'm looking out through my eyes and I think I'm seeing the world out there, it's really a projection in my mind that I'm seeing. And so, as you've talked about in a couple of your lectures, it really is whatever I see, whatever I hear coming from other people, it says more about me than it does about the world outside of me.
Yeah, what a bummer, eh?
Yeah. And Guy Finley tells a story about a gentleman who gets some things right, and he gets to move into a new kingdom. And when he moves into the new kingdom, part of moving into the new kingdom is you get a house. And a minister takes you into the house to show you around and make sure that everything's okay. And so the gentleman goes into this house, and he ends up in the living room with this beautiful, huge bay window. And he's looking out the window, and he's a little bit irritated because it's highly reflective. And the minister shows him the rest of the house, and then the minister goes away and says, "I'll be back in a couple weeks to check on you." And the gentleman has a very rough 2 weeks. And when the minister comes back, he says, "So, how's it going?" And the gentleman who moved into the new kingdom says, "This is all wrong. Everything here is all wrong." And the minister said, "Why, what's the matter?" And he said, "Well, the first thing is I looked out my window and I saw this person, and he had a fancy car, and I went outside to meet him, and the next thing you know, I got involved in a deal with him, and I lost $1 zillion. And the next thing was I was sitting here looking out my window, and I saw this person, and they looked like just the biggest bum, and I was absolutely repulsed by him. But 2 days later, I saw him in the grocery store doing the most kind and generous and loving thing I ever witnessed in my life. And the next thing I know, somebody else comes to the door, and they look pretty good, and I trust them, and I lose another $1 zillion. And he says, "So this kingdom is all wrong. Everything is all wrong." And the minister said to him, "Well, let me ask you something. Are you looking out your window in the proper manner?" And our friend said, "What do you mean? It's a window. I'm looking out the window." And the minister said to him, "Well, you see, in this kingdom, in order to see anything accurately, you must first see yourself in whatever you are looking at."
Absolutely. It's a great way to say it. Awesome.
And
thank you, Guy Finley.
Yeah, it just comes at you from so many different perspectives. When you have the tools, then it's possible to look. If I don't know that I have any way to change the stuff I'm creating that's making me so miserable, the only comfortable thing to do is blame it on other people.
Yeah.
But if I have the tools, as you're presenting to us, then it becomes much more comfortable to own what I've done to myself and actually start to dismantle it.
That's the game we want to play on Earth.
Well, that would be my sharing for today.
That's awesome, Tim. One of the tools that, or one of the workshops we do is called the Circle of Life and How to Play It, and it portrays what we call the upper and lower path. And of course, we all think we do everything for upper path reasons, but once you start looking at that upper and lower path, you see that, well, maybe I'm not quite as perfect as I think, and maybe I need some support and have more work to do. And so that's what we're here to do, is to support. And David and Terry, have you guys got any input on this conversation? I know that you guys have been holding the space there at Heartland and working with each other and working with people who've come and gone over the years. Do you have any input or thoughts?
I'm waiting to see if Terry was getting ready to say. So this is Dave. And first, it's wonderful to hear Christina and the success that she's had with this. And it's just, to me, it's a real reflection of her participation and her willingness, her level of willingness in order to go through and experience what it is that she's, what came up. And shift with that. It's just was touched my heart, just opened up the space for me. And
cool.
And when Tim was talking about about Guy Finley has some wonderful stories, and he expresses it so well. And I like it, and I really appreciate Tim and his feedback that he gives, his participation each day. You know, for me, My perspective of things is to support people in putting it in practice, as you talked about earlier, Michael. You know, we can take things in intellectually, and we can see and we can hear those things and agree with them, and until I put it into action, then I can only have an intellectual understanding of what it is, and when I put it into the action of it, then I have an experience of it, much like the lady that you talked about with all of the words on the left to talk about her experience of having the child and seeing the child. Then there aren't any words to that. There is only the experience of it. And our purpose and support here is to support people in putting it into action and to taking that next little step. Because without that, it just becomes more, the mind so clever, and arranging it in a way that it sounds good, that without having support of other people, hearing what's happened for them, then it becomes such a challenge. Doing it on my, when I do it on my own, I just can get so lost with all of it. So that's my input for today with that.
That was one of the things that I had just put in the chat room too, where someone was saying that, it seemed like it was hard, and it was like, no, it just takes willingness, and when you've got support, that's so much greater. There were two things in the chat room. One is Les put down that he liked the phrase, if they're the one with the problem, why am I the one with the pain? And then he came back in a few minutes and said, and I had to chuckle with this one, thank God for the other people who provoke my pain.
Yeah, there's a certain level of appreciation. And, one of the things that I was prompted to when I looked at this morning and I was doing the lesson in the Course in Miracles, and I'll take just 1 minute and read this paragraph. It says, learning will be hampered when you skip a practice period because you are, quote, unwilling to devote the time to do it that you are asked to give. Do not deceive yourself in this. And I like to change the language of that. Unwillingness can be most carefully concealed behind a cloak of situations you cannot control. Learn to distinguish situations that are poorly suited to your practicing from those that you establish to uphold a camouflage for your unwillingness. And that, to me, is like what you're saying there, Jeannie, to have other people to be willing to tell the truth and to support in taking the exercises is really what I feel measures the level of willingness.
Right. And Christina had just put, it was overwhelming for me when I really started turning around every upset to look at that it was inside of myself. I think that is why the commitment to myself was really so important. In other words, I would be crushed by the weight of my pain without focusing. I told her to be gentle with herself, that she didn't turn it inside and become, blaming herself. And she said, the other thing is the commitment to myself was the piece that I was most resistant to in the beginning. Laugh out loud. I guess that's the point of what I was sharing.
She's great. I tell you, because she came on the conference call on Sunday night and participated in that, and I think that was one of the real major shifts, that she was willing to receive the feedback and then put the feedback into practice, which is really so wonderful, because there's her results, and she gets to experience that.
Absolutely.
But David, that paragraph is a great one to place in the conversation at this point. And by the way, something you did say triggered some brain cells in me, which I had meant to share with you, and I would love to share with our whole audience today. And that is that yesterday we found out that our daughter Krista is pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Here I am at 40, going to be a grandfather. It's awesome.
you're such a young 40, too. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you'll
you
end that. How fabulous. Oh, that's wonderful, Michael.
Congratulations.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
It is
so wonderful. We hold the space that she carries on that tradition that she was
Yes, and I would invite everybody, if you would, to just hold a space of support for her, that she's able to hold this space of love and presence for her child, which she's very committed to, and she's got a stepchild that she is just an awesome mother to, and so we just invite you to hold that space, and we are just about at the completion point. I think we're down to about 60 seconds, and so if you have any questions or thoughts, please call in tomorrow early. You can help set the tone of the show and where we're going to go. Register in the chat room so you can make comments. And what we're here to support you in is absolutely creating the best year yet of your eternal life. That's what we hold for you. We hold that you are whatever's gone on in your world, whatever's happened to you, whatever you've done, the truth about you is you are the awesome presence of love. And we support you in bringing that presence forward to every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth. Mind Shifters Radio, that's where we're here to support you in. Have an awesome rest of the day. And we'll look forward to being with you tomorrow. Bring a stranger with you tomorrow on the show. Invite somebody to get on with you on the radio, or, pardon me, on the phone and or on the chat room. Blessings.